as the House prepares for its session. Thank you.
You did. Sure you did.
Why'd you do that?
My book did it.
Huh? What?
We had the last one.
I know. Are you ready? You ready? Yeah. Are you ready for this? House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant of Arms will close the doors, and members and visitors will please silence all cellular phones. The prayer tonight will be offered by Representative Marcus Brandon. Please stand and remain standing for our Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Brandon.
Can all bow our heads, please. Dear Father God, we thank you for the opportunity of prayer. We thank you for the opportunity to serve in this great body. We thank you for the opportunity to serve the great state of North Carolina and all the people in it. We thank you for the opportunity to do your work and to make sure that your will on this earth is being done. Father, we ask in your name that you help us this week as we continue to move about our business, that we make good, conscious decisions. And we, Father, we ask that you help us this week understand the plight of people and understand where people are coming from and the reference point of people and make decisions according to that. Father, we ask this all in your name. We pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Representative Brandon. Representative Moore is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the Journal for Thursday, June the 14th, 2012 has been examined and found to be correct. I move its approval as written.
Representative Moore moves the Journal for June 14th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it and the Journal is approved as written. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the General Assembly of the House. Ratifications of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified, properly enrolled, and presented to the Office of Secretary of State, Senate Bill 906, an act in time to axe hedge, lease out property for a licensed nursing home for up to 40 years without treating it as a sale.
Charter bills will be noted. Introduction of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
Representatives Gill, Parman, Horn, and Hall, House Resolution 1225, American Liberty Memorial.
Rules, counter, and operations of the House. Message from Senate.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to your message received today, June 14, 2012, that the House of Representatives fails to concur in Senate Committee Substitute Number 2 to House Bill 950, a bill to be entitled an act to modify current Operation Capital Improvement Appropriation Act 2011 for other purposes and request conferees, President Pro Tem appoints Stevens, Jefferson, Hunt, Munstetter, Russo, Brown in the part of the Senate to confer with like committee appointed by your honorable body at the end that the differences arise and may be resolved respectfully. Sarah Clapp, Principal Clerk.
Noted. House will come to order. Calendar. House Bill 199. Clerk will read.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 199, a bill to entitle an act to recodify the provisions of general statutes that regulate precious metals businesses, pawn brokers, cash converters, secondary metal recyclers, and the strength of metal theft prevention by requiring permitting of non-ferrous metals purchases, making it a crime to cut, mutilate, deface, or otherwise injure the property of another to obtain non-ferrous metals, creating related criminal offenses, and making other related changes to the general statutes.
Representative Prigent is recognized for a motion and to explain the bill. The House will come to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill passed the Senate with bipartisan support, 48 to nothing. It passed with bipartisan support in Judicial C. The stakeholders have came together and are in agreement on this bill, and I would appreciate everyone's support for concurrence on this bill. A property owner in Morganton had $20,000 of metal stolen from his property from a warehouse that now to repair is going to cost him approximately $250,000 because the building was vacant. He cannot, insurance will not pay for it. We need to pass this bill to give law enforcement more tools to help in this type of situation. There are four major changes in this bill. It established a buyer's permit for metal recyclers that would be issued through the local sheriff's department. It eliminates cash payment for copper. It tightens record-keeping provisions on metal recyclers by using a video or photograph of the seller with the metal being sold, listing the make, model, color, and license plate of the vehicle. It ties the criminal penalty for metal theft to the amount of damage to real property rather than just the amount of the theft. This is a good bill, and I urge you to vote green.
Representative Stevens is recognized to comment on the motion.
To speak on the concurrence. Thank you.
Lady has the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times the questions asked why we bring up something like this in short session.
House will come to order. Representative Stevens has the floor.
I will tell you that as my EMC came to see me this week, this is one of their big concerns. They just had a 911 call to their Mount Airy substation, found out that it had been broken into and vandalized. 15 kVA service transformers had been stolen, and a spare 10,000 kVA transformer had 1,400 gallons of oil drain. The vandalism required that a neighbor's driveway be repaired, new fencing where it was cut through, disposal of contaminated soil where the oil leaked, numerous man hours, and then the expense to replace the transformer. At the end of the day, the incident cost the members of the Surrey-Yadkin Electric Membership Corporation $350,000 to clean up and replace damaged equipment. The thieves probably got less than $500 by selling the copper. And these incidences of copper are huge expenses to companies, and particularly this company that goes back to the citizens. So I would urge your support.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Lenore, Representative Lowe-Price?
See if Representative Prigent would answer a question.
Does Representative Prigent yield for a question?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Prigent. I guess I've got a couple questions. The first one would be, were the recyclers a part of this negotiation during this bill? Were they invited to the table, or were they just kind of left out?
Yes, sir. They were invited to the... we were trying to make it a bipartisan for everybody to come forward, and everybody didn't get exactly what they wanted, but they finally agreed.
Just speak briefly then.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the motion.
I appreciate everything that's gone on in this bill. I have been contacted by recyclers in my district, and they're concerned that they weren't really part of this discussion. And one in particular there, I've got false auto recycling, has just spent $80,000 on cash machines so that they can do the payouts. Now those machines are going to be completely worthless, and I guess they want to know who's going to reimburse them for this with this legislation passes. I understand the purpose of it, and I applaud the efforts, but I think that we probably needed to make a couple of more changes to allow the recyclers to not be in such a bad position after this bill's passed.
For what purpose the lady from Nash, Representative Bryant Rice?
To debate the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The lady has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I want to encourage you to vote green on this motion. This issue of the stealing of the copper in our area and the damage to property is a major problem. Our farmers are very concerned and victimized by this process. Our churches have been very victimized by this process, not to speak of our utilities and landlords and other property owners. There are two important components of the bill. One is to stop the payment of cash for the copper, which takes away some of the incentive to steal it. And the other important thing, at least to our farmers, is to make it unlawful to transport more than 25 pounds of the copper if you're not in the regular course of business, if you don't have a valid bill of sale, or if the, and it gives the law enforcement officer the right to determine whether or not it's stolen or in your rightful possession. If that process of transporting it and the cash sales are really a significant concern to all of the owner, business owners, utilities, farmers, etc. in our community. And for that reason, I'll encourage you to vote on green. Thank you.
Members, without objection, Rule 12D is suspended. What purpose, gentleman from Robeson, Representative Graham, rise.
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I do strongly encourage your support on this bill for a number of reasons. I won't labor all those points, but I do think it's a good bill. I think it's a good measure, and I think it's something that will send a strong message to those individuals out there who are destroying good property, taking over control of our churches, our schools, our homes, and who are just out there absolutely stealing without any thought or consequence to what they're doing. This is a good bill. It's costing our communities a lot of money in terms of preventing theft, and I hope this measure will, if there's any way we can make a thief think, I think this will give him something to think about before he goes to the next home and steal the air conditioning unit from their from that premise. I support the bill, and I hope you will vote green. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise.
Speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
House will come to order. Representative Torbett, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to also address some of the questions Representative LaRocque had concerning the cash machines. That was a deep discussion during the many discussions we have with both representatives from the recyclers and other agents in need. And rest assured, Senator LaRocque, that the only thing they can't use that machine on is only copper, and it can be continually used on metals other than just copper. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose, the gentleman from Madison, Representative Rapp, rise?
To speak very briefly on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And my only addition to Senator Stevens' comment is that when the electric co-ops were here, one of the things they've been concerned about is the liability issue of someone coming in, grabbing a copper wire that may be live, and they then will be held liable for injury to the thief. And I think that's another compelling reason that we should vote in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Representative Adams is recognized to speak seated.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to stretch anyway.
Lady has the floor to speak on the motion.
Thank you. I'd like to ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does Representative Pridgen yield for a question?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative. I mean, I support the bill. I mean, from all I've heard, I'm still not clear about what are they using the copper for. But I mean, I understand they're selling it, but why? Why would we want to buy it? I mean, what is? How is it so useful?
Well, the price of it is just up so high now that, and people, it seems like, according to the Sheriff's Department, the majority of people they're stealing it is for drugs and all. Now, they buy it because it's recycling and it's a very lucrative business. And does that answer your question, or did I misinterpret it?
Mr. Speaker, may I direct the question to Representative Stevens?
Does Representative Stevens yield for a question from Representative Epps?
I do.
She yields.
Mr. Stevens, can you add any more to it?
What I can tell you is that there are various junkyards and metal recyclers who will pay you cash if you bring in things, be they your old car, your own scrap copper. And what's happening is lots of people are going out and stealing these items in order to take them to the junkyard and get money for drugs. And copper seems to be one of those that's very valuable. So they'll go to where you're putting in new construction, where there may be air conditioning, where there may be plumbing, and they'll just simply take the things that are from there. In my situation, they've gone to the utility substations, and, you know, they go to places where people aren't and try to steal these things.
Thank you very much.
What purpose does Representative Hager rise?
Speak on the motion.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the motion. The House will come to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just this weekend, there was a break-in of a substation up not too far from here, and a lot of the copper grounding wires was stolen. Now, I'm probably the only one in this house that's worked in these switch yards before, but when you're dealing with over 200,000 volts, 100,000 volts, 40,000 volts, a missing ground wire could cause death of several individuals. Guys, this is not only a copper theft bill, it's a safety bill for those folks that are working out in these substations. These folks are working out on the lines every day. This is an extremely important bill to keep people safe when they're working outside and working on this high voltage equipment. So I urge you, I plead with you to vote yes on this bill. Thank you.
What purpose, gentleman from Guilford, Representative Faircloth, rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to speak on the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly urge approval of this bill, of this concurrence with this bill. It is a great move forward. The only problem is, generally, the criminal community is a step ahead of us honest folks. I know virtually every one of you in here has been contacted about this bill, about this problem, and about how widespread it is. And I would certainly hope that once we concur with this, once we get this into law, it's the latest tool, but it'll be old the next day. So pay attention to your folks back home, because they're going to be coming back to you later on to make some improvements. This is a crime that's we're going to have to stay ahead of if we possibly can. So I do urge concurrence with the bill.
What purpose, gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Speak on the motion, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the motion.
Mr. Speaker, this is a very, very needed bill. In Cumberland County, we had a farmer to have his water system, some of the precious metal taken away. We had an apartment complex wherein that the person stole all the metal from the apartment complex. And I had my daughter, not knowing all of the mechanics, they stayed in the building for about a day, keep going backwards and forward to the air conditioner, hoping that it would come on. Finally, they walked outside and saw the two system gutted. And so, at the same time, when a person is caught, very little fine. So I support this bill. It's just one step in the toolbox. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose, the gentleman from Franklin, Representative Bradley, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to take very long. I agree with the purpose of the bill. I agree with what the bill does. I have a problem with a very small piece of the bill, the portion where it says that anyone carrying 25 pounds of copper or more without a permit or without markings on their vehicle are subject to arrest. I'm a field service network technician. I easily have 100 pounds of copper at home as a part of my business. And if I were to take and sell that to the recyclers, because I plan on spending all my time, you know, with you ladies and gentlemen, then I'm subject to arrest. I'm subject to arrest, and there's no relief provision in this bill. And that's a problem for me. I suspect that this bill is going to pass, and that's okay, but I'm just explaining why I'm going to vote against it. Thank you.
What purpose, the gentleman from Lee, Representative Stone, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think it is an important bill, and it has a lot of merit for what we're about to do. But I also agree with Representative LaRobe that we probably should get more of the recyclers involved. I'll tell you, copper's $3.40 a pound, and that's why they're stealing copper, because they can't get a job. Now, they're continuing destroying homes, business, farms. We see that throughout the state. This bill will probably address some of those issues, but the true fact is most of these people already have misdemeanors. Most of them already have felonies. You're going to fill your courts up. So as we pass this bill, I hope next year that someone will come back with a solution on what we're going to do with the real problem. Because what's going to happen is copper is going to go to the underground. And if you don't understand, that means they're going to be sending it to someone else to sell it for them. And that's the first thing they're going to do next week when this bill is passed. So I do think it's a much-needed bill, and we need to look at it as we move forward. But please address the long-term solution. It's going to the underground, and consider that. And I hope you'll support the bill.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the motion to concur on Senate Committee Substitute on House Bill 199 by Representative Pridgen. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. All members wishing to vote do so at this time. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 110 having voted in favor, 2 against, the motion to concur on Senate Committee Substitute on House Bill 199 has passed, will be enrolled and sent to the governor by special message. Senate Bill 229, the clerk will read.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 229, an act to amend certain environmental and natural resources laws, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Members, we have a pending amendment from last week. Representative Gillespie, clerk will read the amendment.
Representative Gillespie moves to amendment number 8 on page 1, line 12, by deleting.
Representative Gillespie has the floor to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is the amendment that was pending from last week that from the language that Representative LaRoque had run. It's purely technical, recommended by the department, and ask for your adoption.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. If not, the question for the House is the passage of Amendment A9 offered by Representative Gillespie on Senate Bill 229. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 113 having voted in favor, none against, the amendment passes. We're back on the bill. Representative Gillespie is recognized to explain the bill on third reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had a vote, I guess it was last week sometime, and time's leaving me here, and this bill passed on a 74-44 vote. I would say that it's been out and open for quite a while now, and there's plenty of time for people to look at it, and I just ask for your support on it tonight.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 229 on its third reading. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 71 having voted in favor, 42 against. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 229 has passed its third reading and will be engrossed and returned to the Senate. Public bill, second and third reading, Senate Bill 77. The clerk will read.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 77, a bill to confine an act providing that after December 31, 2012, landlord shall, when installing a new smoke alarm or replacing existing smoke alarm, install a tamper-resistant 10-year lithium battery smoke alarm except in certain cases, and providing that landlords may deduct from the tenant security deposit damage to a smoke alarm or carbon monoxide alarm as recommended by the North Carolina Child Fatality Task Force, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Stam from Wakes recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had a good discussion of this last Thursday, although not a vote. Just as a reminder, on page 1 is the heart of the bill, at the bottom of the bill, that next year, if a landlord is replacing an existing smoke alarm, the landlord will install a tamper-resistant 10-year lithium battery smoke alarm. But there are exceptions that people asked me about last time. For example, if it's equipped with a hardwired smoke alarm with a battery backup, or the other exceptions in the bill. I would encourage you just to decide if you want to vote for it or against it. This is consumer protection. Tenants, when they go in to rent a property, don't have the wherewithal to inspect the smoke alarms or second guess the landlords, and this is the safer way to do it. All the safety groups you may have heard from your fire chief, you may not have heard from your fire chief, but those are the ones who will be disappointed if you vote no. I encourage a vote in support. Thanks.
What purpose does the gentleman from Pasqua Tank, Representative Owens, rest? What purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Samuelson, rest?
To speak on the bill.
The lady has the floor to speak on the bill.
I'm trying to find some. Sorry. I had asked about this one because I didn't like the idea that we were going to require that they change them every 10 years, and I was told by someone that federal law already requires that you replace your smoke detector every 10 years, and right as you were calling on me, this came up. But my understanding is that there are 300 codes and standards that are designed to minimize the risk, and one of them is that they require that you replace your smoke detector every 10 years to make sure it's operational. So if your resistance to the bill was based on the idea that you're going to have to replace the smoke detector that you wouldn't normally replace, apparently every 10 years you're supposed to replace them anyway.
What purpose does the gentleman from Franklin, Representative Bradley, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will not belabor the point. I will be very brief. There are already new technologies that are coming out that are far superior to lithium, and we are going to look mighty foolish if we require the use of a 10-year lithium battery when a month from now a 50-year thorium battery is going to be released. I do not support this bill. Thank you.
What purpose, gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, am concerned about Big Brother and us telling people how to live, all of that stuff. But I'm also concerned about the fact that in the past 5 years, 75 children and hundreds of adults have died in this state as a result of fires, and that national data reveals that two-thirds of those deaths occur in homes without a working smoke detector. Now, the Child Fatality Task Force has, since its inception, been responsible, or claims to be responsible, I guess, since I wasn't here at its inception, for a 46% reduction in child fatalities. Now, I know we can't legislate morality, and we shouldn't necessarily be telling people how to live, but it is our responsibility to give guidance, and where we can, insist that people do things that are in their best interest as well as for those least among us. So, in my view, Senate Bill 77, it would require landlords to phase in tamper-resistant lithium batteries is a reasonable and realistic requirement. Lithium batteries cost about $5 more for every 10 years, and that's a pretty cheap insurance policy for our kids. Thank you very much. I support the bill.
What purpose is the lady from Wake, Representative Avila, rise?
To ask the question of the bill sponsor.
Does Representative Sam yield?
I do.
He yields.
This is basically a technical question, Representative Sam. In some of the reading that I've come across, there were some questions about how fast these alarms will be detecting smoke and also the amount of smoke that's necessary for them to be triggered. Did you see anything in the work that you've done? I didn't see it in the information that you passed out. Is that anything that you came across?
Representative Alville, I've tracked down four or five issues like that. That's not one that's come to my attention. I can't answer it.
Okay, thank you.
What purpose, gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know this bill is well-intended, but to me it's a bit of overreach, regulatory overreach that so many of us have campaigned against for so long. To me, it's akin to telling a farmer who wants to keep plowing his fields with a mule that he has to buy a John Deere tractor. I mean, there may be some advantages in having a tractor instead of the mule, but it's none of the government's cotton-picking business if he wants to keep plowing with a mule. Now, we already require them to have smoke detectors. I don't think we need to require them to extra expense of buying a lithium or whatever that was that Glenn mentioned a while ago. It's none of our business. As long as they're already using a smoke detector and being responsible about it. For heaven's sakes, when I was a renter, I used to have to take care of smoke detectors in the place I was renting myself, and I didn't mind that. But if you already got regulations that they've got to do this stuff and make sure they've got these safety features, that's fine. Don't tell them what kind they have to get. Thank you.
What purpose? Gentleman from Guilford, Representative Bless, rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to briefly speak on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. I just want to explain briefly why I think this is not just a nanny state bill, because that epithet is used quite a bit now. But to me, the nanny state is when somebody's looking after me and ordering me, compelling me to do something that affects just me. And my fear in the rental unit situation is you have multi-family or multi-unit buildings, and it, having lived in one of these many a time, I have wondered, what's the guy in the next unit doing, or what's the guy, I'm in unit B, what's the person in unit H in the same building doing? And this protects, and I'm telling you, when you have a child, you see things a little bit differently, and it scares me to think of waking up in the middle of the night and that fire is burning and you don't have the time to use your calm, rational thought, and you've got to do something. And this gives a little bit more warning before the situation gets that bad where you might do something rash. So this, to me, is a public protection issue and not a nanny state issue, and I urge your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 77 on second reading. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. All members wishing to vote, do so at this time. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 84 having voted in favor, 28 against. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 77 has passed its second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 77 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 77, having passed its third reading, will be engrossed and sent to the Senate by special message. Senate Bill 491, the clerk will read.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 491, a bill to be entitled an act to extend the sunset on the law establishing the North Carolina Sustainable Local Food Advisory Council. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Dixon is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this bill extends the sunset on the law establishing the North Carolina Sustainable Local Food Advisory Council until July the 31st, 2015. There is only one substantive change from the original bill, and that is on page 3, line 21, where under the duties, the duty number 8 is stricken from the bill that we're presenting here. A brief explanation. On February the 2nd, 2010, this local food advisory council met for the first time. Commissioner Troxler was nominated and unanimously elected as chair, and has been since then. This is an advisory council. From the Agriculture Regulations Committee, a bill came forward that would change the name of this advisory council. When this bill was presented in the Agriculture Committee, quite a bit of conversation took place. The senior chair of the Ag Committee pulled this bill from the committee, which I think was a wise move. So having confidence and respect in the senior chair of the Ag Committee, and having confidence and respect in the Commissioner of Agriculture, I solicit your support for this bill as it's presented. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Franklin, Representative Bradley, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this debate is not about a word. It is about a practice of deception that governments have used for years, decades even. This comes on the heels of a long train of abuses where governments have twisted the meanings of words by subtle deception and redefinition until the terms themselves come to mean the opposite of the message they communicate to the public. Take, for example, the Patriot Act. If I oppose the Patriot Act, does that make me a terrorist rather than a patriot? That is the very argument that many of my colleagues on my side of the aisle would support, but that I overwhelmingly reject. I would assert that the terrorists are those who support the Patriot Act, and the patriots are them that oppose it. By government fiat, words have been redefined until they lose all meaning and come to mean the exact opposite of what they say. Those who would seek to ridicule or falsely paint opponents of sustainability by government fiat and redefinition as people who want to kill off and burn down the planet Earth have placed themselves into...
House will come to order so that Representative Bradley's comments can be heard.
...have placed themselves into the same camp as those who use the name Patriot Act to label patriotic Americans as terrorists for opposing it, and history will not be as forgiving as I am. I do not oppose sustainability according to its dictionary definition, and neither does any single member in this body or anybody around the entire planet Earth. Sustainability, being a good idea, needs to be adopted in the same way that contour farming was adopted thousands of years ago voluntarily because it's a good idea. When you force adoption of any concept by government force, fiat, or imprimatur, you have allowed for the subtle redefinition of words to create a tyranny. In this case, the word sustainability, as it's being used here, is defined in General Statute Section 106-830B1 according to the trilateral definition of ecology, economy, and equity first conceived in Rio de Janeiro Declaration of 1992, promulgated by the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives and encoded into the EPA by presidential executive order bypassing the proper constitutional process of Senate ratification. It is my goal that the Local Food Advisory Council be able to continue to study this and other issues, and that it become even more inclusive of traditional farmers than it has been in the past. We seek inclusivity rather than exclusivity, and therefore, Mr. Speaker, I would like to be recognized to send forth an amendment.
Do members have copies of the amendment by Representative Bradley? Clerk will read.
Representative Bradley moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 3, by rewriting the line to read.
Amendment's properly before us. Representative Bradley, you have the floor to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment is not designed to change what the Local Food Advisory Council will study, but to change the practice of forcing the redefinition of terms by government fiat. It even retains the given statutory definition of sustainability intact and makes that one of the several duties of the Council to study. This amendment is not designed to prevent the Local Food Advisory Council from studying this or any other issue, but, ladies and gentlemen, we have to stop the practice of government deceitfully using redefined terms such as patriot, that actually means repealing the Fourth Amendment, and sustainable as a code word for social justice, in order to lull the public into complacency through overt deception. We were elected to represent our constituencies, not to deceive them. We were elected to uphold and defend the constitutions of the United States and the state of North Carolina, not to abrogate them. This amendment simply does two things. First, it makes the Local Food Advisory Council more inclusive by opening two spots on the council to traditional agriculture. And second, it removes the redefinition of sustainability into one of the council's duties. But even more importantly than these two simple practical effects, the amendment will restore compliance with the U.S. Constitution, to which we have all sworn an oath, uphold, and defend, by refusing the implementation of international treaties through executive order that have never been ratified by the U.S. Senate. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and I ask for your support on the amendment.
Representative Dixon is recognized to speak on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, with all due respect to my colleague who brings up some very excellent points, I would just say this that I said in the Ag Committee: to change is easy, to improve is more difficult. I think that the proper way to do this is to pass the bill as presented and continue to have confidence in Commissioner Troxler and those who are on this advisory council. And so I would respectfully encourage you to vote against the amendment. Thank you.
Members, we have four lights on. If you do not wish to speak on the amendment, please turn your lights off at this time. Representative Pittman is recognized to speak on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In discussing this bill and where it originally had this language taken out, statement was made that it's not that big a deal, so why bother with it? But it is a big deal to a lot of us who see the efforts of the United Nations to circumvent our Constitution and have the government more and more in control of people. And that's what their definition of sustainability is about. It's not about maintaining a resource and all. It's about getting the people under control of the government. And that is a big deal to a lot of us. So I simply say to those of you who may not understand that, if it's not a big deal, why not let us take that word out? Because it is a big deal to us who see the threat of the United Nations against American sovereignty and freedom. Thank you. Please vote for the amendment.
Representative Brawley from Mecklenburg is recognized to speak on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would Representative Bradley yield for a question?
Does Representative Bradley yield for a question?
I do.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative. Notice that on page 2, in lines 16 through 19, you're making two changes where you are removing the phrase conventional food producers and completely lining out sustainable food producers. And I would request that the gentleman explain the difference between a conventional food producer and a sustainable food producer.
Thank you for that question. If we were actually going by the dictionary definition of sustainable, there would be no difference between a conventional food producer and a sustainable food producer, which is what we're trying to get to. However, in the organization's charter as it currently is, sustainability is a term that was designated in Rio de Janeiro by the United Nations in 1992 that it means social justice more than it means actual sustainability.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, would you call the chamber to order, please?
House will come to order. Representative Bradley. Brawley has.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if the gentleman would yield for a second question.
The gentleman yield?
I will.
He yields.
On page 3, line 17, you've marked out a representative of the North Carolina Farm Transition Network Incorporated and replacing that with a representative of the Conservation Trust of North Carolina. I'm not familiar with the North Carolina Farm Transition Network. Could you tell me something about that organization and why you found them not deserving of being in the bill?
Again, thank you for that question. The reason that change was made is because the North Carolina Farm Transition Network Incorporated no longer exists, and we were taking the spot from an organization that no longer exists and is currently unable to put a member on the committee and giving it to the Conservation Trust of North Carolina, which does currently exist.
Thank you. Would the gentleman yield for a third question?
Does the gentleman yield?
I will.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative. You have also marked out on several occasions the word sustainable and replaced it with local. Would you tell me what the difference between those two concepts is?
In fact, the word was not replaced with local. Local was already there. What we did was we removed the concept of the sustainability as defined earlier in the section from the fundamental premise of the organization itself and made it one of its 9 duties so that it has more freedom to pick out the good parts and reject the bad parts, which it did not have before when the UN-defined sustainability was a fundamental premise of its existence.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose does Representative Dollar from Waycross?
To see if Representative Bradley would yield for a question.
Does Representative Bradley yield?
I will.
He yields.
Representative Bradley, have you had a chance to discuss this amendment with the Commissioner of Agriculture? And if you have, could you tell us what position the Commissioner of Agriculture has on this amendment?
I have not had the opportunity to speak with Commissioner Troxler on the removal of the sustainability language.
Follow-up. Does the gentleman yield for a follow-up question?
I will.
He yields.
And therefore, you're not aware of his position on your amendment, yea or nay?
That is correct.
Ms. Speaker, to ask Representative Dixon a question, if he would yield.
Before we go to Representative Dixon, if this amendment does pass, it will change the title of the bill, so we will not have third reading today. Does Representative Dixon yield?
Yes. Representative Dixon, you heard the question I had. Do you have firsthand knowledge of what the position of the Commissioner of Agriculture is with respect to this amendment?
In talking with the representatives of the Commissioner of Agriculture, they're fine with the bill as I have presented it.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. For what purpose, the gentleman from Franklin, Representative Bradley, rise.
Speak a second time on the bill, on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor to speak a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line here is that the local food advisory council is extremely exclusive. Of its 27 members, only two are from traditional agriculture. That should be inconceivable to us, and we absolutely have an obligation to correct it. This amendment does that. Not only does this amendment correctly reorient food policy towards actual food producers, but it also ensures that the council can continue to carry out its duties in a constitutional manner, which we have a duty and an obligation to uphold, having sworn an oath to uphold and defend it. This amendment does not prevent the local food advisory council from considering matters pertaining to sustainability according to the given definition. Indeed, it requires such under item 9 of the council's duties. It simply reorients the council into compliance with the Constitution and allows the council to do exactly as I said above and adopt those parts of sustainability which are a good idea and reject those parts that are not, a latitude which in its current incarnation this council does not have. This amendment will allow the council to continue operation in a manner consistent with the U.S. Constitution while allowing the council to continue to consider measures relating to sustainability and to pick and choose between those measures which will strengthen North Carolina agriculture and reject those measures which will weaken it. This amendment is about inclusivity, and I commend the amendment for your support.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. If not, the question before the House is the Amendment A1 offered by Representative Bradley on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 491. All those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. All those opposed to the amendment will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 51 having voted in favor, 63 against. The amendment fails. We're back on further discussion, further debate. Excuse me. For what purpose, the gentleman from Madison, Representative Rapp, rise.
Speak very briefly on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the bill in second reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just want to call members' attention to the fact that the creation of this local food policy council took about a six-month period, a little over 2 years ago. It started out as a 19-member commission, expanded to the current number that you see there, 27. And it was done because all of the farm interests were brought in. They got an opportunity to weigh in on this, and as a result of that, the commission was expanded to the number of 27 so that we made sure all interests were represented. The Commissioner of Agriculture was pleased with the changes that were made. He endorsed it, and I would hope that you would support this measure tonight. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose, the gentleman from Franklin, Representative Bradley, rise.
Speak a second time on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In 2 days, starting on June 20th, 2012, the 20-year anniversary of Earth Summit 2012 will meet again in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, with one of its stated goals being to convert the redefinition and choice editing implied in the social justice component of sustainability from a cooperative treaty into hard international law. If you don't believe me, the United Nations is hosting a website currently that lays it all out at earthsummit2012.org. Don't take my word for it. Look it up yourselves. It is a blatant violation of the U.S. Constitution to become involved in an international treaty leading to hard international law, except that that treaty be ratified by the U.S. Senate. Here it is, right here in Article 1, Section 10, no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, and Article 2, Section 2, duties of the President. He shall have the power, by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, to make treaties, provided that two-thirds of the senators present concur. As you see, it is blatantly unconstitutional for the state of North Carolina to become a party to international treaties that have not been adopted by the United States, and the United States can only enter such treaties provided that two-thirds of the Senate present concurs. Our duty has seldom been more clear than this. If we cannot fix this council to become constitutional, then we have the constitutional obligation under Article 6 Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution to reject it. And I would ask that my colleagues fulfill the obligation of our oath of office by voting no on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. What purpose does the gentleman from Nash, Representative Collins, address?
Speak briefly on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
I don't know if any of you are like me or not, but I read the bill, and 14 times I read this phrase, sustainable food, and I had no idea how we define it in North Carolina. So I decided to look up the general statutes from which this comes, and I found the definition in section chapter 106-830. It says, definition, I like to know what I'm voting on before I vote, frankly. It says, definitions, as used in this article, the following definitions apply. Sustainable food. If you want to know what that means, here's what it means. An integrated system of plant and animal production practices that have a site-specific application and that over the long term are able to do all of the following. A, satisfy human food and fiber needs. B, enhance environmental quality and the natural resource base upon which the agriculture economy depends. C, sustain the economic viability of farm operations. And D, enhance the quality of life for farmers and the society as a whole. I'm not going to try to tell you how to vote on this one. If you like that definition, vote for it. If you don't, vote against it.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 491 on second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 82 having voted in favor, 32 against. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 491 has passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute on Senate Bill 491 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Committee Substitute has passed its third reading for Senate Bill 491 will be returned to the Senate by special message. Members, our nurse of the day is Kathy Chapman from Eflin, North Carolina. Kathy, welcome and thank you for your service, North Carolina House. Senate Bill 525, the clerk will read.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525, a bill to be entitled an act relating to critical access behavioral health agencies. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative Dollar is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. What this bill does, CABAs, or Critical Access Behavioral Health Agencies, were started actually around 2010 to help improve mental health service delivery in the state and to make sure that an array of services were being delivered. The long and the short of it is what this bill does is it essentially codifies what's in the state plan amendment for the CABAs, and it will help them immeasurably in the transition to the managed care organizations. And they need this legislation. The department is in favor of it. I know of no opposition.
What purpose does the lady from Nash, Representative Bryant, rise?
To ask Representative Dollar a question, Mr. Speaker.
Does Representative Dollar yield for a question?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Dollar, does this change any of the existing requirements for the CABA?
Well, what it does is it, not really. I mean, all it really does is take what's in currently in the SPA. There's been rulemaking problems, and they really haven't been operating under rules. We need to get them, we need to get this
actually get this settled, and it will help the CABAs in the transition to the MCOs. It'll help them be able to operate in that environment.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Does the gentleman yield for follow up?
I yield.
He yields.
I recall initially under the CABAs, one of the concerns our local providers had was that it required you to have a licensed psychiatrist in some role in the CABA. Either I couldn't remember whether it was some kind of graduated requirement, either part-time or full-time, depending on some level or requirement. I don't remember right now what the graduated scale depended on, but are we now changing, which is fine with me really, but are we now changing the requirement that there be a licensed psychiatrist on staff at a CABA? Is that now being changed?
No. We're not changing that.
Okay, follow up.
Does the gentleman yield for a follow up?
So it still requires...
He yields. Representative Bryant, you have the floor for a question.
Thank you. So I just couldn't see in here, if you could show me where it says the psychiatrist is still required.
If I understand the part that you're asking about, it would be on page 2 under section 3, subsection 2, in terms of the clinical director. Shall be one of the following licensed or certified providers. Now you've got those under there. And I mean, they have to be, they will have to be, have qualified and licensed people in order provide services that are otherwise licensed by the state.
Thank you, Representative Dollar. Mr. Speaker, to be heard on the bill.
The lady has the floor to comment on the bill.
If there is anyone else on the floor that knows whether or not this is a change, I surely would appreciate being informed of that. One of the problems with these CABAs initially when we created them was that they required, I recall, a licensed psychiatrist, which in eastern North Carolina was really prohibitive for our, a prohibitive requirement for our providers to meet. Consequently, the providers in the Triangle and the other bigger areas of the state had more of a chance to move in and take over the contracts. Now, I don't know if this is the same thing or not. If we are really making that change, I think it's a great thing, but I just wanted to know about that because I think it would really be important for our providers to be aware of that. Now, in the meantime, this is another instance, if that's the case, and I'm not sure about that, in the mental health scenario where we have up the requirements, eliminated a whole lot of people from business, and then reduced the requirements again after they've already been put out. You know, a lot of our smaller providers, which that process concerns me, but I'll follow up with more research myself, and if anybody else on the floor can help clarify that, I would surely appreciate it because I think we all need to know that as we continue to deal with this mental health transition for our constituents back at home. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 114 have been voted in favor. None against. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525 has passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525 has passed its third reading. Will be returned to the Senate by special message. Members, we're going to go in order through the calendar, but I want to draw your attention to the bottom of page 2 and the top of page 3. We will be, just like we did on second reading, have a short roll call on House Bill 1041, 1088, and the first four local bills at the top of page 3. I'd like for you to be looking at those, and if you have any objection to those being grouped, then you can let me know when those come up on the calendar. What purpose the gentleman from Robinson, Representative Graham, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I inadvertently voted red on the third reading for Senate Bill 229. I'd like to change my vote. I'm sorry, I voted green. I'd like to change my vote to red.
So ordered.
Thank you.
Representative Moore is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, for a couple of re-referrals, please.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move that House Bill 1074, short title Stop Waste, Fraud, and Abuse in Government, be removed from the Committee on Finance and placed on the calendar, not for tonight, but placed calendar 36B. And
Speaker, so ordered.
Not for tonight.
What purpose, the gentleman from Orange, Representative Hackney, rise?
Question for the Rules Chair.
Are you?
He yields.
You're taking this out of committee and putting it on the floor. Has it had committee consideration?
It has. There are two bills that they were pulling from finance. They had serial referrals originally, and one went through, I think they may have both gone through judiciary committees. They had serial referrals to finance in conference with the finance chair. Has been determined didn't need to go there. And they're not being added to tonight's calendar, just be 36B for tomorrow or whenever.
The gentleman has the floor.
And second one, Mr. Speaker, is House Bill 1173, short title, absconding probation violators, forfeit benefits, that one also be removed from the Committee on Finance, held for the calendar 36B.
Without objection. So ordered. Senate Bill 707, the clerk will read.
And one additional one, if I may.
The clerk will yield. Representative Moore has the floor.
Senate Bill 141, that bill be removed from the Committee on Judiciary B. That short title is Omnibus Law Enforcement Changes, and refer to the Committee on Rules, Count, and Operations of the House.
Without objection, so ordered. What purpose the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise?
With a motion pertaining to tonight's calendar, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On page 4, I move that Senate Bill 810 be removed from tonight's calendar and recalendared for Tuesday, June 19th.
Without objection, so ordered. Senate Bill 707, the clerk will read.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 707, a bill to entitled an act to enact the School Violence Prevention Act of 2012 and to limit prayers for judgment continued, General Assembly of North Carolina enact.
Representative Blazier has the floor to explain Senate Bill 707.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker and members. This is actually a bill that came unanimously from the Senate, Senator Tucker's bill. Representative Stam and Representative Stevens and J.B. referred it for quite a bit of work to a subcommittee that Representative Engel, Representative Martin, and I were on. We met with all of the stakeholders as needed. We met as a group, and there is agreement on the bill before you. Very briefly, the elements are as follows. Section 1 creates a new subsection to the state assault statute that provides that a school employee or a volunteer who takes reasonable actions in good faith, so objective and subjective standards, to end a fight between students would be immune from civil or criminal liability. Section 2 was amended, the term profile with regard to computer cyberbullying to include a more updated definition and a more comprehensive one. Section 3 amends the law with regard to cyberbullying of a minor or a parent by changing the elements to comply with a number of court rulings, and really the same in a sense with Section 4, although it creates a new offense of cyberbullying of a school employee, a Class 2 misdemeanor, but the definitions that you'll see actually updated our cyberbullying statute generally, again, to more comply with constitutional requirements. Section 5, there'll be an amendment on, but it essentially is a provision that Senator Tucker wanted that we modified that requires that if someone tries to take out a misdemeanor complaint against a school employee, that they first have to go to a magistrate who's at least designated to deal with school employee issues by the chief district judge in that area so that someone has some knowledge of school law, and you'll see an amendment to that in a minute. Section 6 prohibits probation officers from visiting school students during school hours on school property, except when they first get prior authorization by the school administrator, and the visits have to be in a secluded area so that it's not open to general student review to protect the student who's being visited. Section 7 limits the requirement for reporting to a law enforcement officer unlawful acts where a principal, to those circumstances where the principal has personal knowledge or actual notice of the problem, and we deleted the phrase reasonable belief because that was causing an awful lot of problems in the school system about what that meant. Section 8 requires that upon actual notice, the supervisor of a school employee immediately report if a school employee has been assaulted by a student. Section 9 provides for the required transfer of a student who's engaged in cyberbullying of a school employee to either a different school or a different class if there isn't a different school available, but does give the superintendent the ability to modify that required transfer on a case-by-case basis. Section 10 provides that no school employee is going to be dismissed for acting or failing to act to stop, to intervene in altercation between students if, but only if, the employee's actions are consistent with local school board policies, and local boards are required to have those policies. Section 11, which Representative Stam may want to talk about, but again is not controversial, I think was something that we passed in a different bill, and that simply provided a court cannot enter prayer for judgment continued in excess of 12 months, except it may be a court can grant that for the interest of justice for a second 12 months. And Mr. Speaker, with that, I would like to have a motion for my amendment, please.
Representative Glazier, which amendment would you like to send first?
I have only one amendment. It's ATL 33 version 4.
Clerk will read.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
This is amendment ATL-33V4. Representative Glazier moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 2 and 3 by rewriting the line to read.
The members have copies of the amendment. Representative Glazier is recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This actually contains really two fairly technical changes. The first, on the first part of it, when I said that the section with the magistrate appointment, we went through AOC and they preferred this language for two reasons. One, it allows for the appointment of multiple magistrates, particularly in urban areas. And second, it provides an exception where there simply isn't any appointed magistrate available to review the application or if the offense occurred in the presence of a law enforcement officer. The back of the amendment has a technical amendment to a bill passed the other day, 724, which passed unanimously here and is pending in the Senate, but there was a misstatement of what the section number was. That's the only change. I know of no opposition and recommend the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the amendment offered by Representative Glazier on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 707. All those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 114 having voted in favor, none against. Amendment A1 by Representative Glazier has passed and does change the title, so this bill will remain on the calendar for third reading. For what purpose does the gentleman from Lenore, Representative LaRoque, rise?
Same Fourth Amendment.
Clerk will read.
This is Amendment ATL-32V3. Representative LaRoque moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 2 and 3, by rewriting the lines to read.
The members have copies. Representative LaRoque is recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, as those of us who have served for a little while, we understand that when we get into the short rows.
Mr. Speaker.
What purpose, gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Is it possible we can displace this so we can get an amendment?
The amendment was distributed on Thursday. Representative Stamp, what purpose do you rise?
To inquiry to Representative LaRoque.
Gentlemen, yield for a question.
I yield.
Representative LaRoque, since we heard that the title changes are going to require this to be on third reading till tomorrow.
Second reading and third, I think.
Third.
Yeah, second and third.
Second reading tomorrow?
Second reading today, Representative.
I was wondering, since your amendment is unrelated to the underlying bill and since a lot of people don't have copies, would you want to wait till tomorrow?
I can wait for tomorrow. That's fine if we need to.
Representative LaRoque recognized.
Withdraw the amendment.
Okay. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 707 on its second reading as amended. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 111 having voted in favor, 2 against. House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 707 as amended has passed the second reading and will remain on the calendar. Senate Bill 869, the clerk will read.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 869, a bill entitled Act to remove the requirement that firefighters and rescue squad workers have 1 year of creditable service in order to qualify for disability retirement benefits under the local government employees retirement system for injuries incurred in the line of duty. General Assembly of North Carolina enacted.
Representative Bowles is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last year, we had a bill to bring the law enforcement into the provisions of the 1 year. This will only bring in the rescue and fire department firefighters and for local government. It just kind of uniform the emergency workers for the disability for local government. And
further,
hope for your support.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 869 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. All members wishing to vote, do so at this time. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 114 have been voted in favor, none against. House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 869 has passed the second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 869 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Committee substitute for House Bill 869 has passed its third reading and will be in. Returned to the Senate by special message. Senate Bill 829, the clerk will read.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 929, a bill to entitle an act to revise the residency requirements for members of the Board of Trustees of the Fireman's Local Relief Fund. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Bowles is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is another for the firemen for their retirement and hope for your support.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 929 on second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 114 having voted in favor, none against. Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 929 has passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 929 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 929 has passed its third reading and will be enrolled and sent to the governor by special message. Members, now we're on a short roll for local bills. House Bill 1090, House Bill 1110, the top of page 3, House Bill 1122, House Bill 1169, House Bill 1202, and House Bill 1206. Does any member wish to have any of those taken out of the short roll? The clerk will read.
Committee substitute for House Bill 1090, a bill to entitle an act to establish the remaining 9% of the common boundary between Alamance and Orange County for United States and Session Laws 2011-88, and is authorized by the General Assembly by Session Law 2010-61, enabling the changes in the historic Orange County-Alamance County boundary line as described in the 1849 survey establishing Alamance County. House Bill 1110, a bill to entitle an act to remove certain described properties from the corporate limits of the town of Matthews and annex it to the town of Stallings, both at the request of the respective town governing boards.
House Bill 1122, a bill to entitle an act to validate certain levies and collection for fire district taxes in Martin County and to allow Martin County to abolish by resolution its Chapter 69 Fire Protection Districts upon establishment of the Fire Protection Service Districts under Chapter 153A of the General Statutes. House Bill 1169, an act removing certain described property from the corporate limits of the town of Burgaw. Committee substitute for House Bill 1202, a bill to entitle an act to de-annex from the town of Roanoke Rapids a parcel previously annexed by legislative annexation and amending the authorizing legislation of the Halifax Northampton Regional Airport Authority. Committee substitute for House Bill 1206, a bill to entitle an act to more accurately describe the corporate limits of the town of Butner, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage on third reading of a short roll on House Bill 1090, House Bill 1110, House Bill 1122, 1169, 1202, and 1206. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Sent to the Senate by special. All members wishing to vote do so at this time. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 113 in favor, none against. House Bill 1090, 1110, 1122, 1169, 1202, and 1206 have passed the third reading and will be sent to the Senate by special message. House Bill 1041, the clerk will read.
House Bill 1041, a bill to entitle an act to exchange certain described tracts of land between the city of Archdale and the city of High Point, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Fairclough recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This simple bill exchanges two small pieces of property between the towns of High Point, or the cities of High Point and Archdale for the purpose of realigning their borders. I know of no opposition. Appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1041 on its third reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 114 having voted in favor, none against. House Bill 1041 having passed its third reading will be in sent to the Senate by special message. House Bill 1088, the clerk will read.
House Bill 1088, a bill to entitle an act concerning the division between Graham and Wayne counties of TVA payments in lieu of taxes and clarifying the common boundary between those counties. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1088 on its third reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 114 having voted in favor, none against. House Bill 1088 having passed its third reading will be sent to the Senate by special message. House Bill 1217, the clerk will read.
House Bill 1217, a bill to find an act to adjust the boundaries of the town of Woodman and the city of Asheville is requested by the governing boards of those municipalities by annexing into the city of Asheville certain state-owned property, removing certain state-owned property from the town of Woodman and annexing it to the city of Asheville, removing certain state-owned and private property from the city of Asheville and annexing into the town of Woodman and upon petition Roman with concurrence of the town of Woodman, allowing the city of Asheville to annex certain property in the town of Woodman that has result of the operation of this act is surrounded by the city of Asheville or a combination of the city of Asheville and unincorporated area and providing for the city of Asheville and the town of Whitman to enter into agreements regarding the provision of municipal services to certain properties in each other's jurisdiction. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Fisher is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, the title says it all, but just in case, this is a bill that adjusts the boundaries of the town of Woodfin and the city of Asheville. Both the governing boards of the town of Woodfin and the city of Asheville agreed to this. The local delegation has agreed to it as well. Everyone has signed off. I know of no opposition, and I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1217 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 114 having voted in favor, none against. House Bill 1217, having passed its second reading, will remain on the calendar. Members, look at the next three bills, House Bill 1123, Senate Bill 818, and Senate Bill 859. Is there any objection to grouping those on a voice vote? Seeing no objection, the clerk will read.
House Bill 1123, a bill to entitle an act amending the act authorizing the appointment of authority to control the management of a memorial stadium to be erected by Durham County to increase its membership and to amend its term limits. Senate Bill 818, a bill to entitle an act to exempt Clay County from certain statutory requirements in the renovation and restoration of its old courthouse building to be leased and or used as a multipurpose facility. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 859, a bill to be entitled an act to provide that regular municipal elections in the towns of Pilot Mountain and the town of Dobson be held in even-numbered years. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage on the second reading of a short roll, House Bill 1123, Senate Bill 818, and Senate Bill 859. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Bill 1123, Senate Bill 818, Senate Bill 859 have passed the second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1123, Senate Bill 818, and Senate Bill 859 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it, and House Bill 1123, Senate Bill 818, and Senate Bill 859, having passed its third reading, House Bill 1123 will be returned to the Senate by special message, Senate Bill 818 will be enrolled, and Senate Bill 859 will be returned to the Senate by special message. What purpose does the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I failed to vote. I was here on the short roll that we just completed. I'd like to, with your permission, be recorded as voting aye.
Representative Blackwell, will you say aye for me?
Aye.
Thank you. House Bill 975, the clerk will read.
House Bill 975, a bill to entitle an act to work toward decreasing obesity among supplemental nutrition assistance program participants by increasing their participation in supplemental nutrition assistance program education and making fresh, locally grown produce available by increasing the acceptance of electronic benefits transfer cards at farmers markets and food co-ops. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative LaRoque is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, we had a good vote on this last week, and I appreciate your support again. This is just to increase the number of EBT cards that are accepted at farmers markets. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question is the passage of House Bill 975 on its third reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 112 having voted in favor, none against. House Bill 975 has passed its third reading, will be engrossed and sent to the Senate by special message. For what purpose, the gentleman from Moore, Cleveland, Representative Moore, rise.
For a motion for re-referral of the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, move that Senate Bill 661, the short title is License Plate Agency Contracts, be removed from the Committee on Judiciary B and re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Without objection. What purpose does the lady from New Hanover, Representative Hamilton, rest?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to be recorded as voting yes on House Bill 975. I was in the chamber.
Without objection, sir, order. For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Brandon, rest?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Same purpose. I'd like to be recorded as aye on 975. I was in the chamber.
Without objection, so ordered. House Bill 1023, the clerk will read.
Committee substitute for House Bill 1023, a bill to entitle an act to allow for expunction of nonviolent felonies or nonviolent misdemeanors after 15 years for persons who have had no other convictions for felonies or misdemeanors other than traffic violations under the laws of the United States, this state, or any other jurisdiction is recommended by the Legislative Research Commission. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Daughtry is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had a very good and lengthy debate on this bill last week. It is supported by the Sheriff's Association, and I hope you'll support this bill.
What purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative McQuirt, rise?
Put forth an amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Do members have copies?
Yes, they do.
Clerk will read.
This is Amendment ASA-60V1. Representative McGuirt moves to amend the bill on page 3, line 28, by rewriting that line to read.
Representative has the floor to explain his amendment.
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, all this does is simply add that fingerprint records will be retained. That's fingerprint records in addition to DNA data bank records will be retained. That would be for future investigative and identification purposes, and I hope you'll vote yes on this little amendment. Thank you.
Representative Daughtry is recognized to comment on the amendment.
We think that that is already the case that fingerprint records will be retained, but just in case they are not, this amendment is a good amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the Amendment A3 offered by Representative McQuirt for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1023. All those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 113 having voted in favor, none against. The amendment passes. What purpose does the gentleman from Cleveland, Representative Moore, rise?
To send forth an amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Do members have copies?
They do.
The clerk will read.
This is Amendment ARK-124-V1. Representative Moore of Cleveland moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 24, by rewriting the line to read.
The gentleman has the floor to explain his amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this is an amendment that I, along with Representative Justice, worked on, and I'll try to keep this short given the hour. Essentially, what this would do is allow some extension of expunctions in cases where a defendant is found not guilty or the charges are dismissed. That's all this does, and it also allows in limited cases where a PJC is entered. I've spoken with the bill supporters. I know of no objection to the amendments. Would ask for the member's support.
Further discussion, further debate. What purpose does the lady from Pender, Representative Justice, rise?
Speak on the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you very much. This came to my attention from more than one person, but one recently, a police officer this happened to. And it is on his record, and he cannot get a job. And this is such a simple thing to do. He was not found guilty, but it stays with him unless we can do this. And I'd appreciate your support.
What purpose does the gentleman from Jackson, Representative Hare, rise?
Ask Representative Moore a question.
Representative Moore, yield for a question. Does Representative Moore yield for a question?
I do. I'm sorry.
He yields.
Thank you. I'm looking at your amendment down on line 12. You say he has not been convicted of any misdemeanor or felony. What's the thinking of putting misdemeanor in there?
That is already existing law, as I understand. That shouldn't be new language, Representative Hare. That should already be, let me back up. Right now, you're allowed one expunction,
right.
Period. This allows more, but you're only allowed more if you don't have any prior convictions.
further discussion? Further
right. Could I do one follow-up?
This gentleman yield for a follow-up. He yields.
Well, I just wondered, since usually if it's underlined means it's been added in, and misdemeanor was underlined in this amendment.
It's because of this expanded provision, because, again, we're expanding the number, because right now a person's limited to one, but the thought was if you're going to be able to avail yourself of getting those more, you ought not have a conviction. That's why. And that was some, there was some resistance, Representative Harewood, just expanding it outright without that.
One other follow-up question statement.
Mr. Gentleman, you go for a follow-up.
I do.
He yields.
I'm glad that you inserted, redid subsection A1. I've got one of those cases right now I'm working on.
Yes, sir. Glad to do it.
What purpose does Representative Hilton from Catawba rise?
That's Representative Moore question.
Does Representative Moore yield?
I do.
He yields.
Have you talked to Eddie Caldwell of the Sheriff's Association? Are they okay with this amendment?
I haven't spoken with them. I think they looked at the bill. Representative Daughtry had the committee, and they worked with it. I have spoken with Mr. Caldwell about one part of the amendment, the first section, and I don't recall any objection to it. And I would be surprised, frankly, Representative Hilton, if there was objection to that second part, given the limitation and the fact that it only applies to not guilties or dismissals. It does not apply to convictions. That, you know, that's usually where the pushback is where you're expunging an actual conviction. This is an expunction of where a person's had their day in court and either the judge or the jury said you weren't guilty, or the DA dismissed the case for lack of evidence for some other reason.
Gentlemen, have an additional question?
One more question.
I'll yield.
He yields.
We have several more bills to go. Is there any, would you object to maybe displacing the amendment and maybe the bill, maybe talk to the bill sponsor until we can get something from the Sheriff's Association?
I don't have an objection. I don't know whose bill. Whose bill is this? Is this Representative Daughtry's bill? If it's Representative Daughtry's bill, I'd want to defer to him as the bill sponsor, because I would assume you'd want to displace the bill. So if he's fine with it, I'm fine with it.
Representative Daughtry is recognized.
I certainly don't mind having Representative Moore check with the Sheriff's Associations. I really have not asked to this amendment, so I can't say with certainty.
Representative Moore is recognized.
Just ask the bill be temporarily displaced so that he and I can talk.
Members, we're at the top of page 4. House Bill 944, the clerk will read.
House Bill 944, a bill to confine an act requiring the Department of Cultural Resources and the Department of Environment and Natural Resources to study various revenue enhancements and potential savings at state historic sites and museums, the state zoos, state parks, and state aquariums as recommended by Joint Legislative Program Evaluation Oversight Committee, General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Representative Howard's recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Senate version of 944 has already passed the Senate and should be on the floor of the House tomorrow night. But with that said, we decided to go ahead and run 944. And basically what it does, it requires the Department of Cultural Resources to identify historic sites that could adopt a coordinated management structure to study reduced schedules, determine the appropriate operating schedules, and to study the potential savings from introducing and expanding perhaps admission fees, eliminating discounts, and in some cases raising the fees. The bill also requires the Department of Environment and Natural Resources to study the sites and to expand some of the controls to identify the parts that could adopt a coordinated management schedule, study daily visitation data, validate no less frequency than every 5 years the number of vehicles per car, provide an analysis of anticipated state costs and savings, and study the potential savings from charges. With that, Mr. Speaker, I would ask that we support the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 944 on the second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 110 have been voted in favor, 3 against. House Bill 944 has passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Senator of North Carolina next.
What purpose, gentlemen? Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question is before the House is the passage of House Bill 944 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Bill 944, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate by special message. For what purpose, gentlemen from Rowan, Representative Warren Rice.
Mr. Speaker, I was engaged with the sponsor of the bill, and a question I'd like to be recorded as voting aye on the second vote.
The gentleman in the chamber. So ordered.
Thank you.
House Bill 1009, the clerk will read.
Committee substitute for House Bill 1009, a bill to entitled an act to amend the North Carolina Metropolitan Sewerage Districts Act to modify representation of the District Board upon expansion and to allow Metropolitan Sewerage Districts to also exercise the same powers as Metropolitan Water Districts as recommended by the Legislative Research Commission's Metropolitan Sewerage Water System Committee. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative McGrady is recognized to explain the bill.
This bill was recommended by the Legislative Research Commission's Metropolitan Sewer Water System Committee, chaired by Representative Moffitt. Its primary purpose is, a few years ago, Henderson County tried to join MSD, and unfortunately, if it joined MSD, it took representatives from the city of Asheville and from Buncombe County. The primary purpose of the bill is to correct that, and it will allow that. It also includes a provision, though, that allows MSD to get in the water business, although I don't expect that MSD will be getting in the water business pursuant to this bill. This will probably be a matter taken up in the long session next year. I ask your support for the bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1009. For what purpose is the lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, rise?
To speak just briefly on the bill, please.
The lady has the floor to speak on the bill.
I would like to just remind the body that the people who made up the study committee that produced this bill were not people who primarily represented the city of Asheville. And having not had any say about what would come out of that study committee and representing the majority of the city of Asheville, I'm having a bit of a problem supporting this bill. This is, I think, just an example of how little input was asked of the people whom this bill or these bills would affect. And for that reason, I'm going to have to vote no. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1009 on second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 76 having voted in favor, 37 against. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1009 has passed its second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Senator of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1009 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1009, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate by special message. House Bill 1052, the clerk will read.
Committee Substitute for House Bill 1052, a bill to be entitled an act to make various amendments to North Carolina's mechanics lien, tax lien, and payment bond laws as recommended by the Legislative Research Commission's Mechanics Liens on Real Property Committee. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative Stevens is recognized to explain the bill.
Mr. Speaker, I am prepared to present the bill, but I understood the rules chair was going to have a motion on this bill. Okay. I believe the bill is going to go to finance.
The lady,
take care of tomorrow.
The lady has the floor for a motion.
I move to refer this bill to the Finance Committee for a quick dip.
Without objection. So ordered. What purpose is the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Mr. Speaker, on House Bill 1009, I voted yes and would like to be voted recorded no.
Without objection, so ordered. Senate Bill 443, the clerk will read.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 443, a bill to entitle an act to eliminate the North Carolina State Arts Society Incorporated to create a director's committee to hire and supervise a director of the North Carolina Museum of the Art to move the North Carolina Cemetery Commission from the North Carolina Department of Commerce and to endow the Cemetery Commission with powers similar to occupational licensing boards. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative Babb was recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I'd like to call on Representative Moore, who has a couple of technical amendments to the bill, to present them.
Representative Moore is recognized. Representative Moore is recognized to the members have copies of the amendments. Representative Moore?
Yes, to send forth an amendment, Mr. Speaker.
And which one would you like to do first?
At the chair's pleasure, whichever one the chair wants to take up first.
Clerk will read.
This is Amendment ALG 112 V3. Representative Moore Cleveland moves to amend the bill on page 8, lines 35 and 36, by inserting between those lines the following new sections to read.
The gentleman has the floor to explain the amendment.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, this is a what I would describe as a technical amendment. This was requested during the process of the appointment of the boards and commissions with the last bill we did. It was found to have been an issue with respect to the term of the veterinary technician appointed to the Veterinary Medical Board. And I know of no objection to this and would ask the body support.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. If not, the question before the House is the amendment offered by Representative Moore, Amendment A1 on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 443. All those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 113 having voted in favor, none against.
Mr. Speaker.
Amendment A1 offered by Representative Moore has passed. For what purpose is the gentleman from Craven, Representative Wainwright?
It's Representative Adams. I'd like to be recorded.
For what purpose is the...
I'd like to be recorded as aye, please.
Lay was in the chamber and will be recorded as voted as aye, voting aye. Representative Moore from Cleveland is recognized for an amendment. Clerk will read.
This is Amendment ARC-63-B3. Representative Moore Cleveland moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 4 and 5, by deleting the lines and substituting the following.
Representative Moore has the floor.
Again, this is a technical amendment. Whatever is the body support.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the amendment A2 offered by Representative Moore on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 443. All those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote.
Thank you.
Representative Adams, aye.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 114 having voted in favor of the amendment and none against. Amendment number 2 offered by Representative Moore has passed. Members, on Representative Moore's first amendment, that does change the title, so there will not be a third reading today. Representative Abel was recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I begin the bill, I put a little plug in for our art museum. Probably most of you in this room realize that our art museum is very unique. It's one of three of its type in the United States as a public-private partnership. What we're doing here with this bill is to streamline and bring into some efficiencies the governance of the museum and its foundation. There's currently a North Carolina State Arts Society, as well as a North Carolina Museum of Art Foundation. And they basically do some of the same sort of stuff in terms of their goals and their objectives. And in looking through recent recommendations that were made when they came through their 10-year reaccreditation process, several streamlining efficiencies were recommended, and these both of these organizations have agreed to combine. In addition to efficiencies, it's also economically beneficial in that it would cut down on staff. This is agreed upon by members of the society, the art foundation, trustees of the museum, as well as the department. The second part is to create an art director's committee. This as well was a recommendation during that reaccreditation process. As it was currently set up, the department head or the cultural resources secretary would name the director, but her choice could be overturned, and it was a little bit of confusion in terms of a smooth governance process. So they're asking to have this director's committee appointed, and as you can see how it's set out, and we still, as the state, have the majority membership on that committee, and I would ask for your support of the bill. Thank you.
From Surrey, Representative Stuart Stevens, rise.
To speak in favor of the bill.
Lady has the floor to speak on the bill.
The part three of the bill makes some changes to the Cemetery Commission, and I think my home, Surrey County, is the home office of the Cemetery Association. The executive vice president lives there, and this just simply establishes an independent committee that will allow the Cemetery Commission to adopt its own rules and sort of govern its own self without being part of the Department of Commerce. So I'd urge your support for the bill included with that provision.
What purpose does the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, rise?
Speak briefly on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to speak briefly on the bill.
I want to direct my attention to the part three of the bill dealing with the Cemetery Commission. Several of us have also been engaged in this, and it is mostly technical, as Representative Stevens says, in shifting this from out from under the Department of Commerce and letting it become an independent board. One of the factors that I think is worth noting is that there's a provision on page 5 that makes clear that all of the expenses associated with the commission, including any staff that it might employ, will come out of fees that are collected from the members that are licensed by the commission and not out of the general fund. The second thing that I would say before I sit down is that it is the hope of those that are involved with the Cemetery Association and the Commission that this is going to enable them to do a more effective job of policing cemeteries across the state to avoid some of the problems that some of you may have had in your home districts with cemeteries that were supposed to provide permanently for maintenance and upkeep and other factors and fail to do so. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 443 on its second reading. All those in favor vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 114 have been voted in favor, none against. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 443 has passed the second reading without objection. Excuse me, the previous amendment changed the title, so it will remain on the calendar. Pages, in anticipation of our next bill, if you'll start moving your way forward so you can be introduced before 9 o'clock. Senate Bill 749, the clerk will read.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 749, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the state's laws pertaining to transportation, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
For what purpose is the gentleman from Scotland, Representative Pierce, rise?
I think I need to change. No vote on 1009 should be a no, please, if you don't mind.
Without objection. So ordered.
Thank you.
Pages, if you'll make your way all the way toward the center. We appreciate you coming to the House this week and participating in your state government. We'll be announcing your name, and as we do so, if you'll take one step forward and raise your right hand so the members can tell who you are. The clerk will read.
Michael Beam IV, Lake County. Rye Bishop, Waite. Diamond Black, Guilford. Kendra Bowen, Columbus. Erin Brooks, Waite. Catherine Carter, Waite. Jessica Cotton, Harnett. Sam Devine, Gaston. Spencer Goodson, Onslow. Andrew Hescock, Waite. Hannah Jones, Cumberland. Jackson Kaplan, Waite. Jacqueline Kemp, Mecklenburg. Julia Kemp, Mecklenburg. Olivia Knox, Mecklenburg. Edward Landy, Waite. Mimi McCarthy, Pitt. Macon Rader, Alexander. Amaris Roberts, Columbus. Luke Sasser, Waite. Haley Talton, Harnett. Parks Tripp, Chowan. Haley Tucker, Nash. Alexandra Warren, Ruan. Odom Williford, Orange.
Pages, thank you for your service to this chamber this week. I know it's we're in summertime, and we appreciate your sacrifice. We hope you learn a lot, and please return to your stations. Senate Bill 749. Representative Killian is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow members, this is a bit of an omnibus bill from the Department of Transportation called the Various Motor Vehicle Law Changes. It is very broad in nature, so bear with me, if you will. I think it's probably best if we go through section by section, and I'll be as brief as I can because it is so broad in nature. Section 1 requires that driver's license of a limited duration bear a distinguished mark on other or other designation on the face of the license, clearly denoting the limited duration of the license. This language brings North Carolina statute into compliance with new federal standards and creates a distinction for legal non-citizens' driver's license. Section number 2 exempts any trailer or semi-trailer used by a farmer, his tenant, agent, or employee in transporting livestock, live poultry, animal waste, pesticides, or other seeds, from the requirement.
Mr. Speaker,
for what purpose does Representative Hall rise?
For a question. For the
gentleman yield for a question, or would you like to go through his summary?
I yield.
He yields.
Yes, Representative Killian, do you know of any opposition to this bill?
Representative Hall, I do not, and I understand where you're going, and that's fine with me. I just, because it's so broad, wanted to give the members the opportunity to hear the details. But given there is no opposition, I would ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose does the gentleman from Nash, Representative Collins, rise?
I'd like to hear a discussion of Section 9, where we're outlawing cell phones for commercial vehicle operators.
Representative Collins, would you like to ask Representative Killian a question? Does he yield?
I would.
I yield.
He yields.
Would you please explain Section 9?
Thank
you.
Representative Collins, Section 9 brings our state into compliance with other states. I know that your concern is with respect to the tolling. It does not... Different section? Section 9 makes it unlawful for a person to operate commercial vehicles and brings us into compliance on cell phone violations under certain conditions. Those four conditions, want me to list?
The gentleman, you wish to
follow up?
Oh, the four conditions there, where I can read them.
The four conditions are having a gross weight vehicle rating or gross combination rating in excess of 10,000 pounds. Number 2, designed or used to transport more than 8 passengers. Number 3, designed or used to transport more than 15 passengers. including the driver, and is not used to transport passengers or compensation, or lastly, used in transporting hazardous material requiring placarding.
Thank you.
For what purpose is the lady from Wake, Representative Weishreis?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To ask the gentleman, the bill sponsor, a question.
Does Representative Killian yield?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Representative Killian, just I know that when these laws pass in the past, often the State Highway Patrol are involved in this. Have they? Are they comfortable with this bill? Are they in support of it?
They are. There are various sections where various agencies, including the Highway Patrol and the Department and the Farm Bureau in some cases, have weighed in on this. And again, I know of no opposition. They all are okay with this.
What purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Brawley, rise?
I wondered if Representative Killian would yield for a question.
He yields.
I yield.
Thank you, Representative. In the Section 9 that Representative Collins was discussing, it talked about using a mobile telephone and further said nothing in this subsection shall be construed to prohibit the use of hands-free technology. But that sentence also included a phrase, or other electronic device in violation of these parts. Would that include a GPS system, sir?
Representative Brawley, I'm not aware of whether or not that would include a GPS system.
Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Orange, Representative Faison, rise?
I wondered if Representative Killian might yield for a question.
I yield. He yields.
Thank you, Representative Killian. On page 9, there's confidentiality provisions at the top of the page as it relates to the collection of tolls. I was just wondering, don't we want that information to be publicly available? I mean, tolling and toll collection is somewhat controversial. And there's a provision in here that would say that the authority has to maintain the confidentiality of all information relating to electronic toll collection. And it doesn't seem like you'd really want to do that. It seems like you'd want to make all the information related to electronic toll collection public. And so I was wondering why.
The purpose for Representative Faison is to bring us into compliance with other states. It makes our laws consistent with theirs for the purpose of reciprocity.
Further discussion, further debate.
Follow-up question?
Does the gentleman yield for a follow-up?
I yield.
Thank you,
Representative Faison, I'll remind the body that this is on the second and third reading. Representative Faison, Representative Killian yields for a question.
Thank you, Representative Killian. I heard everything you said, but I'm not sure I follow or understand it. You said to bring it in conjunction with other state laws. I'm not sure we really care whether we're in conjunction with another state law. And what difference it would make here, or why it would be persuasive, or why we'd want to do that. There's certainly no requirement for it. So I need to understand that a little better. And then you said for reciprocity, and reciprocity generally has to do with the enforcement of a law of ours in another place, or the granting of privileges that exist here in another place. And I don't see how keeping something confidential has anything to do with reciprocity. And I'm just trying to understand this. I really am, and I don't quite get it yet.
Further, Representative Killian has the floor.
Representative Faison, I understand the point you're trying to get to, but I would simply say that my answer with respect to reciprocity and making the laws consistent between the states in the event that tolls are enacted is the best answer I can give you at the time. I would also say that this has been discussed in various House and Senate committees. I know of no opposition.
Members, we've picked up 6 lights in the queue, and I remind you that any one of you can object to third reading.
Thank you,
Mr. Speaker. I was just going to see if anybody would like for me to yield to answer the question.
Representative Faison's question. For what purpose is the gentleman from Orange, Representative Faison, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I would like to object to third. I'd like not to keep the body here longer. I'd like to look into this and see if I can't get and work with Representative Killian. He's certainly working to try to answer my questions, but I apologize to the body. I just don't quite get it yet, and I would like to get it before I vote on the thing. So I'd object to third, and if it isn't in some kind of a real rapid rush, I wonder if it could be pulled so we can at least get this question definitively resolved.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 749 on its second reading All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Who's handling this? Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 97 having voted in favor, 14 against. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 749. Having passed its second reading, being objected to on third reading, will remain on the calendar. Senate Bill 881, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 881, a bill to be found an act to transfer the warehouse formerly operated by the Law Enforcement Support Services Division and its contents from the Department of Justice to the Department of Public Safety and to assign their responsibilities for the storage and management of evidence housed in the warehouse to the Department of Public Safety as recommended by Joint Legislative Oversight Committee on Justice and Public Safety. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative Randleman is recognized to explain Senate Bill 881.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to send forth an amendment, please.
Clerk will read.
This is Amendment ARW 60V2. Representative Randleman moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 2, by adding between the words to and transfer the following.
Mm-hmm. The members have copies of the amendment. The lady is recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker and members, two bills were filed which contained recommendations from the Joint Legislative Oversight Committee for Justice and Public Safety. One bill dealt with the transfer of the Law Enforcement Support Service Warehouse to the Department of Public Safety. It was heard in both chambers, while the Department of Public Safety's technical changes was failed to be heard. Due to the significance of these changes to the newly developed department, this amendment adds the provisions included in House Bill 969, making technical and other changes to the general statutes regarding the Department of Public Safety. The amendment does change the title, which will delay third reading until tomorrow, so I will be glad to work with any member who has any concerns or any questions regarding the bill. Sections 1 through 14 are substantive, while 15 through 61 are purely technical. It mostly changes staff and department titles. I know of no opposition, and I request your support on the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is Amendment A1 offered by Representative Randleman on Senate Bill 881. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 110 having voted in favor, 1 against. Amendment A1 offered by Representative Randleman has passed. Representative Randleman's recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you will remember the first part of this bill. Senate Bill 881, 2 weeks ago we heard the House Bill 968. We voted it unanimously. This is the identical companion bill that was taken up in the Senate, and all it does is transfer the Les Wirehouse back to the Department of Public Safety, and it restores the language authorizing the department to operate the wirehouse and the rape kit program, and this does come as recommended by the Joint Legislative Committee for Justice and Public Safety. The second part now contains technical and other changes to the general statutes regarding the new Department of Public Safety. As I have stated, Sections 1 through 14 are substantive. As this newly combined department has evolved, areas have been identified needing clarification or change. So you have Sections 15 through 61, and I don't think you want me to go through all those changes tonight, but if somebody requests, I will do so. They are purely technical. As I said, they change a lot of the titles, either of the personnel or the department. And this part also comes as recommended by the JPS Oversight Committee. As I stated earlier, I would be glad to assist any member between now and the third reading. I know of no opposition. It was fully vetted in the JPS Oversight Committee, and I will appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 881 as amended on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 112 having voted in favor, 1 against. Senate Bill 881, as amended, has passed its second reading and will remain on the calendar. Representative Daughtry, are we ready?
Mr. Speaker, thank you for recognizing me.
The gentleman will yield.
The expungement bill is fraught with terms, and for that reason,
I would make
a motion to move the bill from take it off the calendar tonight and move it till tomorrow.
Okay. What purpose, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis Russ?
May I ask the gentleman a question?
Does the gentleman yield?
I yield.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Daughtry. Would your motion be the same if my amendment was not going to be sent forward?
Your amendment does not cause me as much problem as Representative Moore. There's some controversy about that, and as a result, we haven't quite got an agreement as to whether or not the Sheriff Association support it or not, do not support it.
What purpose does Representative Speer rise?
To ask Representative Daughtry a question.
Representative Daughtry yield? He yields.
I yield.
Representative Daughtry, I've looked and I don't see it. I was just wanted to know, have you asked for a fiscal note on this bill?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Follow up.
Does the gentleman yield for a follow up? He yields.
Okay. If the fiscal note is not available by tomorrow, would you consider displacing the bill after that? I know you've asked for it. You said you hadn't gotten it yet. So is that what you're waiting on now?
No, that's not what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on getting some understanding from the Sheriff's Association about an amendment that's being tried to be run.
Thank you.
Motion by Representative Daughtry that House Bill 1023 be displaced and put on tomorrow's calendar. Without objection? So ordered. Notices announcements. Representative Stams recognized.
To make an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Republicans will caucus tomorrow at 11 o'clock in room 1228. Bring a survival pack because you may be there a while.
Representative Lang is recognized for announcement.
Ag committee will meet tomorrow in 544. No, I'm wrong on that. In 643 at 1 p.m.
Further notices announcements. Clerk will read.
The Finance Committee will meet tomorrow at 8:30 in 544 LOB.
Representative Dollars recognized for announcement.
Mr. Speaker, the Health Committee tomorrow at 10 o'clock will also be taking up Senate Bill 347. The new title is Medical Health Crisis Management.
Further notices, announcements. Special messages from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message is sent to your honorable body that Senate has passed House Bill 7, an act to provide that constituent institutions in the community college system may opt out of the participation in the William D. Ford Federal Direct Loan Program, notwithstanding the objections of the governor, and the bill becomes law. Respectfully, Sarah Clapp, Principal Clerk.
Noted. Message. Clerk will read.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 444, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize the construction and financing without appropriations from the general fund of certain capital improvement projects.
Finance. Further notices, announcement. Representative LaRoche recognized.
Mr. Speaker. Subject to ratification of bills, messages from the Senate, committee reports, conference reports, referral of bills and resolutions, and appointment of conferees, move the House do now adjourn to reconvene on Tuesday, June 19th at 2 p.m.
Representative LaRoche moves, seconded by Representative Bradley, that the House adjourn to reconvene Tuesday, June 19th at 2. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it, and the House stands adjourned.
Thank you, Denise.
On the motion of Representative Tim Moore, Senate Joint Resolution 865 is withdrawn from the Committee on Rules and placed on the calendar for Wednesday, the 20th, and is a joint resolution honoring the life and memory of Bob Carpenter, former member of the General Assembly. Thank you.